Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a joy it is to come and worship together and sing together, lift up our voices to you. I just praise you for the joy that we have through Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Hebrews as we continue our study of the book of Hebrews this morning. In verse 32, and so far in verse 32, we have studied the life of Gideon, we've studied the life of Barak, and now we are at Samson. The verse reads, "And what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson." That's where we're at this morning. The story of Samson and Delilah is probably one of the most familiar stories in the Old Testament by both Christians and non-Christians alike. We've actually had a lot of secular groups sing about Samson and Delilah. Peter, Paul, and Mary. If you don't know who that is, you can ask me after church. Peter, Paul, and Mary sang "If I Had My Way." The Grateful Dead sang the same song, even though it was titled Samson and Delilah. The verses read, "You read about Samson, you read about his birth. He was the strongest man that ever lived on earth. One day old Samson was walking alone. He looked down on the ground and he saw an old jawbone. He lifted up that jawbone and he swung it over his head, and when he got to moving, 10,000 was dead. If I had my way in this wicked world, if I had my way, I would tear this building down." Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a poem titled "The Warning." Part of it reads, "There is a poor blind Samson in this land, shorn of his strength and bound in bonds of steel, who may in some grim revel raise his hand and shake the pillars of this common will, till the vast temple of our liberties a shapeless mass of wreck and rubbish lies." S. Moore, a Canadian poet, in his poem titled "Samson and Delilah," at the end of the poem, he writes, "If you wish your strength to keep, beware of Samson's nap. Never lay your head to sleep upon Delilah's lap. She will ply her cunning art, making you her easy tool, and when you've told her all your heart, she'll spurn you as a fool." We all are familiar with the story of Samson and Delilah, but there is more to his life than that. And I think that there is a deeper meaning in the life of Samson and why he is listed as a person of faith in the Hall of Faith chapter. First of all, as we look at the life of Samson, he had godly parents. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Judges in the 13th chapter. It reads, "Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them in the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children, and the angel of the Lord," this is pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, "appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.'" Later on in the same chapter, you'll see that the angel of the Lord comes back and converses with Manoah and his wife. They give an offering to him. They are believers. Samson is born, and in verse 24 of the same chapter, it reads, "So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. From that, we see next that Samson starts to drift into temptation and then later on into sin. We first get a glimpse of that in Judges 14 because he wants to do something that is forbidden, and that's to marry a Philistine. Judges 14, starting in verse 1, says, "Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, 'I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife.'" In verse 3, you see the reply of his mother and his father. "Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistine?" Samson told his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." Remember, he has a pledge not to drink alcohol, and on the way he walks through a vineyard, walking through temptation. He slays a lion and then eats honey out of the lion, even though he's not supposed to touch anything dead. And while he does mighty deeds for the Lord, as we're all familiar in Judges 15, as he slays 1,000 men from a jawbone of a donkey. And in fact, Samson in Judges 15, verse 16 says, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men." He judged Israel for 20 years, and you start to see things fall apart mightily in his life in Judges 16. Even though he's to be set aside for the service of the Lord, in Judges 16, you find him first lying with a harlot, and then in verse 6, you see Delilah come upon the scene. And Delilah wants to know the strength of Samson. In verse 6, she says, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you." Samson becomes absolutely delusional in his sin. And he enters into a game, a lying game, with Delilah. In verse 15, after three lies, Delilah looks at him and says, "How can I say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's wombs. If I have shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Of course, we see where the Philistines shave his head. And I want you to look at something here in verse 18. We see Delilah arranging for the Philistines to shave his head. And then in verse 20, she says, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shall shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. The point that I want to make here is, as we look at the life of Samson, is that Samson's looseness with sin ultimately catches up with him. And he ends up in bondage. No difference today in God's economy, that if you do not take sin seriously, it will catch up with you. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." I've heard people take that verse and say, well, that verse has to deal with life before Christ because it talks about everlasting life. And it is true that as we grasp Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. But Galatians 6, 7 is an economic fact. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, this morning in our Bible study, we spoke of the economy of God. If Christ is king, he has a kingdom, and part of having a kingdom is having an economy. And there are economic rules in an economy, and in the economy of God, it is a universal truth that God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. It's true for the unbeliever, but it's also true for the believer in the fact that if you sow a life of sin, you will reap the chastisement of God. For the Bible says that if you are a child of God, that you will be chastised. So much so that as we look at the verse of 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, it reads, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed." In other words, my friends, there will be people who know Jesus Christ and who are Christians, and they will be ashamed at the coming of Jesus Christ. And it all relates to how we live. There's this idea in the cheap grace camp of Christianity today that you can say a few words, have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you can live however you want without any consequence at all. 1 John 2 28 blows a hole in that, because there will be people at the end of time who, even though they're going to go to heaven, will be ashamed at the coming of Jesus Christ. Our life has consequences. Samson continually thumbed his nose at God, continually looked at sin as something that he could live with without consequence at all. And here he finds himself in bondage. Sin will put you in bondage. Sin puts the unbeliever in bondage. They're already in bondage because they're sinners. Christ makes those shackles free. But for us as believers, we need to take sin seriously, because we find sin taking away the freedom that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ if we do not take sin seriously. Sin has consequences. Sin has chastisement if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may ask yourself, then why in the world is Samson listed in the Hall of Faith? I'll give you a great answer to that. Samson comes back. It's a sign of us knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I've known people in my life that have left the faith for a period of time and not been obedient, but then they repent and they come back. It's part of being a believer that if we are truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can drift, but you will come back. Look in Judges chapter 16, verse 23. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." So it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may perform for us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them." Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me. I pray just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. Samson came back. He repented. He called upon the Lord. And I don't care where you're at this morning, God wants to hear from you if you have drifted, for you to renew your commitment to God. Later on in the Hebrews 11, we'll study the life of David, but I thought that it was appropriate to point out as well as David came back. True believers come back. In Psalm 51, David wrote a prayer of repentance after Bathsheba. In verse 1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." See, David knew that the answer to his situation in life was the cleansing power of God. Samson knew that for him to have life, eternal life, would be to repent and get right with God. Samson is a great example for us. Not only that we should be aware of sin and we shouldn't tempt our strength with sin, but we should always remain faithful and stay true, because sin has consequences. In addition, with Samson, we need to remember that God is always there, always willing to accept us as we repent and come back to Him. Will you join me in prayer? Father, I just thank you for all of the wonderful examples that you have given us in the Bible for us. You gave them to us not because they're interesting or neat stories, but you gave them to us so that we might look at other people's lives and learn from them. And I pray, Lord, that we might be students of your word and that we might be followers of your word and that we might embrace your teaching and your truth. I pray, Lord, that if there is someone here that has drifted, that they would recommit their life to you today. I pray that if there is someone here who does not know you, that they would ask you into their heart today to be Savior and Lord, that they'd seek you for forgiveness of sins, that they would believe in the power of your resurrection, that they would embrace you and have joy and peace in their life through the cleansing blood of Jesus. We praise you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.